Welcome back to Shadow Smith. On Monday, Hillary Rodham Clinton said in her speech that corporations that outsource jobs and move profits overseas should not be granted tax breaks. Now, perhaps that's the case, but it has nothing to do with her previous statement. It's not a correction of her previous statement. It's not that she was misunderstood. It's not that she misspoke. That is an entirely different discussion. It's an entirely different issue. It has nothing to do with the point that she made the previous day, which is that don't let anyone tell you that businesses and corporations create jobs. And they are apples and oranges. They're not even in the same genre. Now, the fact of the matter is, let's just deal with her second blunder. There are very few tax breaks, and a tax break is just taking less from the business. It's not giving the business anything. You're just taking less from them. So that perspective is extraordinarily important. Most of the people who vote have nothing taken from them. They're given net benefits from the government. They're on the opposite side of this equation. They're parasites. Where the business, even given a tax break, is still a net contributor. Now, as for outsourcing jobs, look at a company like General Electric, probably, one of the, in fact, it is America's largest manufacturing company. It's one of the relatively few companies in America still able to manufacture goods. They have businesses around the world. They just bought the fourth or fifth largest company in France. They bought one of the largest companies in Italy. They're buying companies overseas because the U.S. makes it very difficult to start and run businesses. And to do business abroad, American companies are not favored. You know, if you're a technology company today, no one wants to do business with you abroad because of the interference in business by the NSA and the spy scandal. But American businesses aren't trusted. The American government's not trusted. And so it's almost impossible now, and not impossible, but it's increasingly difficult to do business overseas as an American because our credibility has been destroyed economically and politically. So companies like General Electric buy overseas companies. And one of the reasons they do so, too, is that they can manage those businesses and be able to retain more of what they earn, which they can then reinvest in those businesses. And also outside of America, now they have access to individuals who haven't been corrupted by the American indoctrination system that we call education in this country, with the national religion of political correctness that's rendered an entire generation, if not generations, incapable of exercising good judgment, incapable of being moral, which is why it's almost impossible to survive as an American manufacturing business today. There's not enough people who are moral, who exercise good judgment. So that is just the reality of it. And as we talk about profits overseas, there's only one reason for that. America's corporate tax rate is the highest in the industrialized world. And so it's an incentive for businesses to go to places that confiscate less of what they earn. And there aren't tax breaks for outsourcing jobs. There's no such thing as a tax break for outsourcing profits. There's no such thing. This notion that there is just political myth. So she's gone from making a statement that is the antithesis of what's important vis-a-vis America. I mean, America is what it is mainly because of the incentive of Americans working in businesses to better their lives for themselves and their families. That is what built America. Now, she's opposed to that. She says, no, that's not what built America. That's not how people get jobs. So that's fundamentally in opposition to the cornerstone of America. And then she moves to what I meant to say, and she makes another blunder on an unrelated issue. The clarification made clear that the remark was a botched line, not a new messaging from Clinton. And that reason is, as they say, she just simply changed the subject. The Republican alternative is a discredited economic theory that will hurt middle-class families. Clinton said so-called trickle-down economics has failed. We went over this yesterday. It's absolutely poppycock. A, there is no such thing as trickle-down economics. The so-called is because her husband coined the term. And to coin a term to describe a very sophisticated economic theory and to dumb it down so that nincompoops who vote will say, hey, yeah, I like that. We'll call it trickle-down. Bad trickle-down. You're just stupid. There is no such thing as trickle-down. Ronald Reagan brought in supply-side economics, developed by a USC professor, Art Laffer. Laffer, through research, demonstrated that if you overtax individuals and corporations, that the government takes in less revenue and that the economy stalls. And that if you reduce tax on the most productive businesses and individuals, that the government actually takes in more revenue because there are greater earnings. They get a smaller share of a much larger pie. And as the entire economy grows, there are lots more people put to work and therefore lots more people paying more dollars in tax, but less of a rate in tax. That was his research. That's the Laffer curve. It is officially supply side economics. And Reagan read the research, agreed with the research. I read the research. I concur with the research. The research is sound. And Reagan put it into practice. He lowered the tax rates on high net worth and high productive individuals and on businesses and corporations. And it worked. And it worked immediately. Economic boom. Wonderful for the middle class. It was spectacular in the growth of the economy. And the government took in hugely more revenue on lower tax rates. That doesn't mean Reagan was perfect. Reagan's desire to build a 600-ship navy, Reagan's desire to play war with the evil empire of the Soviet Union, was a war that brought both countries to their knees. Yes, it bankrupted the Soviet Union, and so it stopped being a communist and broke into pieces. And America claimed they won the Cold War. No, we both lost. Because the buildup of the military required to bankrupt the Soviet Union, bankrupt America. It just took a longer time. And America now has the largest military in the world, largest than the rest of the world combined. Bankrupt both countries. And so the Reagan deficits increased, but not because revenues decreased with decreased taxation. It's not because the economy faltered. The economy thrived. Revenues increased. The middle class grew. Everything from supply-side economics worked. It's just that Reagan was not a conservative when it came to spending. And so government grew, particularly because the defense buildup faster than the revenues increased. Supply economics worked. It not only worked for the 8 years of the Reagan administration, it worked for the 4 years of King George I. It continued to prevail all the way through the Clinton administration. It ended up that supply-side economics was so beneficial that when Clinton finally reined in to some degree the increased spending of our military, we actually produced budget surpluses. So here we are for 20 years with the benefit of supply-side economics. And this ignoramus, Hillary Rotten Clinton said, trickle-down didn't work. Well, supply-side economics worked brilliantly. We went away from it, though. And when we went away from it, we found that devastation of the Great Recession. that we're still in. And we're fighting the Great Recession the same way that FDR fought the Great Depression, elongating it, deepening it, making it worse. Because we're applying top-down government policies as opposed to bottom-up strategies. Supply side is a bottom-up strategy. It's not top-down. Hillary Rotten Clinton and her liberal politics, that's top-down. Dictated mandates, regulations, government redistribution of wealth, government establishing the rules. Never works, never has worked. What doesn't work is the liberal government socialistic control of the economy. What Clinton wants, what Clinton advocates, what Clinton craves, what Obama is all about is what has failed, and it has always failed. Free enterprise, particularly managed as under the supply-side economics, is the single most effective approach America has experienced in her entire life as a nation. Now, if I know this, and, you know, I'm just an average guy, why doesn't she know this? And if she doesn't know this, why is she running for president? And if she does know this, why is she lying to get votes? It doesn't make her a very good leader, does it? There is no way to deal with this other than to say, this woman is repulsive. It is an extraordinarily sad situation. She said, I shorthanded this point the other day, so let me be absolutely clear about what I have been saying for a couple of decades. She didn't shorthand it. She just lied. She said that businesses and corporations don't create any jobs. She didn't shorthand it. She went on and on about it. Then she went from there to trickle down, which is a political and economic myth. This woman is incredibly evil. Completely dishonest. It's easy to see why she and the Obama nation worked together for so many years. They're both evil. We'll return to Shattering This after the commercial break. Hillary claimed that she was shorthanded her remark about businesses and corporations don't create jobs, and then went on a diatribe about tax breaks to companies that export profits and export jobs. The fact is, and this article correctly points it out, what matters is the substance of what she actually said, which is that business and corporations don't create jobs. Those were the words that came out of her mouth, not once, but twice. There's no ambiguity here, because A, she's dumb as a box of rocks, or B, that she's speaking to a liberal audience that agrees with the statement 100%. So how does she now presume to clarify this intellectual projectile of vomit? The article's really written appropriately, in my view. Blunt. By explaining that, oh, she really meant was that she disapproves of corporations who outsource jobs or stash their profits overseas, and that she doesn't want them to have tax breaks? That's not what she was talking about before. And by the way, it doesn't happen. Companies don't stash profits overseas. They either do business overseas and therefore pay tax overseas in the places they did business, and they don't really outsource jobs. And a job is not outsourced unless the American workforce is egregiously out of whack in terms of cost. Back in the day, I used to look at this, and automobile industry was still privatized at that point. You looked at an American car versus a Japanese or German car, and the labor component of the car, at the time that cars were, you know, averaged about $15,000, was about $1,500, the labor differential. And the labor differential was because of the American government. and the burden of labor in America vis-a-vis these other countries. And so even on industrialized countries like Japan and Germany, you know, countries with outstanding educational systems, outstanding governments, quality lifestyle, the average cost was about $1,500 more, 10% more, just as a labor component because of the inefficiency of American labor. Either they were so unionized that they did not work hard, they had no incentive to work hard, or they were overpaid, or they had way too many benefits associated with their compensation, or there were too many government costs associated with it. Collectively, they were just not competitive. So you could not compete. So if you weren't to outsource your jobs, the company itself would disintegrate because no one would pay a premium for the product. Now, a great example is television sets. You know, America invented the television, and that for a while America was the leading manufacturer of television. We were the leading manufacturer of electronics. It got to the point where now there's almost no electronics made in America. A little bit made in Mexico, but there's, 5% of the electronics that are available for sale in America that are actually made in America, 95% made overseas. Now, the reason is that companies, RCA, Zenith, General Electric companies, could continue to make the products in America and no one would buy them. So do you think that everyone's going to lose their job if they're making a product that no one will buy? Because you can buy a better product for less money that was made in Japan or China or Taiwan or someplace else? Europe? Yeah, is that outsourcing jobs, or is that the realization that the American job is worker is incapable because of the cost burdens associated with government and the rules that have been established here, that the American employee is incapable of producing the product at a value that consumers are willing to pay? And therefore, it's not about outsourcing jobs. It's about staying alive as a business. If you don't outsource the job, no one buys the product. The job goes away because the individual gets fired because the business goes bankrupt. So you're not outsourcing the job. You're simply using your brain to recognize that the only way that we keep any jobs for the American company is to make the product elsewhere. So if you want to resolve that problem, it has nothing to do with tax breaks. It has everything to do with the bankrupt system, the Ponzi scheme of Social Security. It has everything to do with the nationalized health care, an abomination, the Obama health care plan. It has everything to do with all of the regulations imposed on labor. It has everything to do with the lack of real education and a sense of morality and good judgment that's instilled in American educational institutions. So this article continues on. Let's start with this. It says the only reason businesses stash their profits overseas, and they really don't. They will move their headquarters overseas, or they'll buy or build businesses overseas, is so that they pay tax in the country that they're doing business in. And that's the way it works. If Apple, for example, were to decide that California and federal taxes confiscating 50% of their shareholders' earnings is too great a price to pay, and that to serve their shareholders, which is what they're in business to do, is better done by moving their offices to Vancouver in Canada, to Tijuana in Mexico, or to Ireland, where the corporate tax rate is under 15%, they'll do so. I mean, at this point, Apple has moved 100% of their manufacturing to China. The largest factory in the world is the Apple manufacturing facility in China. They don't make product here. They design some product here. They market product here. They have their corporate offices here. But the product is made in China, and they sell product around the world. So when they have an office in Great Britain and they sell product in Great Britain, they're taxed based upon the productivity of that office in Great Britain. That's how they stash their profits overseas. They do business overseas. And it's that the United States also foolishly maintains a tax on repatriated profits. The United States makes it impossible to do business here, and they make it prohibitive to leave here. And I would love to renounce my American citizenship and move to Australia or New Zealand, even Costa Rica. But now that I've been taxed on everything that I have earned, and taxed and taxed and taxed to death, if I leave, the government takes half of what I've been able to keep after the taxation. They're just unscrupulous vampires. Companies who operate abroad and make money abroad can hang on to the money they earn there only if they keep it there and only if they pay tax there. If they try to bring it back, they have to pay tax on it again. The solution there is to repeal the tax on repatriated profits and watch capital flood back into the U.S. economy. But no, we can't do anything sensible because the Hillary rotten one has no interest in being sensible. She's interested in luring people to vote for. And most people are net dependents. They're net parasites. They don't pay. They don't contribute to the government. They simply get benefits by redistributing the earnings that other people have made. So she will please the largest number of voters by lying to them. Does Hillary Clinton know this? Is she aware of this? I doubt it. Now, the whole outsourcing nonsense, which the Democrats and far too many Republicans blather about endlessly during their campaigns, according to this article, is the task of a U.S. corporation is to limit its costs while maximizing the value and marketability of what it produces. If overseas providers of labor, of goods, and of services prove to be a better option, then that's the right option to choose. You know, one of the things that we found when I was manufacturing products, I always design my own products. I have hundreds and hundreds of design patents. And if I were to make the tooling for those products, injection molding toolings or metal stamping or spinning tools, die cast tool, any kind of tooling, you know, for an individual part, it could be $100,000. And for a whole product, it could be $1 million or millions of dollars for the tooling. Now, once you have the tool, it can run on an injection molding machine anywhere, and the cost of the labor vis-a-vis the cost of the machine is such that it doesn't make much difference where you actually run the part up to the point that there's so many restrictions on what you can do in America that there aren't a lot of machine shops in America anymore. Most of those have gone overseas. But what I found is that the same tool that American labor would charge you $100,000 for, I could get made for $5,000 overseas. And it wasn't primarily a difference in just the labor hours, because everyone was using CNC machines, automated laser and water jet cutting machines to create the tools. They were all using the same technology to make those tools. And the technology is not labor intensive. It's just a different work ethic, a different government interference level. It's why we have priced ourselves out of competition in America. It has nothing to do with a company saying, gee, I think I want to hire Mexicans, and I don't want to hire Californians. It's that the work ethic, the morality, the productivity, and the bureaucracy associated with hiring the Californians means that if you were to try to do so, you're guaranteeing that your product will not be competitive and that your business will fail. Government has plays a negative role in all of that. They're a net contributor to the inability of businesses to prosper in this country. Now, if you were to diminish 90% of regulation and diminish 90% of the federal government, you'd have a chance. But that's what would be required for there to be a chance. Now, if you don't want corporations getting tax breaks when they choose a certain method of securing labor, I have a solution. Get rid of all tax breaks. Simplify the tax code so that everybody pays one simple rate and stop giving breaks. This is what the author of this article says, to some while denying them to others. Now, the fact of the matter is that when you have an extraordinarily high tax rate, the only way to have a high tax rate and then to offer, the reason you offer tax breaks is to encourage things that the government wants more of and to discourage things they want less of. For example, you put burdensome taxes on the sale of alcohol, on the sale of cigarettes. We have put burdensome taxes, unfortunately, on the production of energy. There's surtaxes on the production of energy. So those are things that you're going to get less of, and that's what we see. We get less of. Now, the America, for example, the largest tax break in America by far is the mortgage interest on homes. It is a tax break because America wants more home ownership, but it's the largest by far tax break. I mean, it dwarfs all other tax breaks by a gazillion times. And the only real tax breaks that corporations have is if they're in businesses that the government wants to subsidize because they're economically unviable. Renewable energy is a great example. Now, the government has essentially stopped subsidizing renewable energy, so we're essentially out of that business. There was a luxury tax put on expensive goods like airplanes and boats and things like that. And what it did is it drove the American manufacturers, which were left in those businesses, out of business. That was stupid. You know, so there isn't a tax break for doing the kinds of things that Rotten was speaking of here. There isn't a tax break for sending jobs overseas. You only send jobs overseas if you can't produce the product using local labor. You're so much better off using local labor because then your inventory supply lines are shorter. And if your inventory supply lines are shorter, then your inventory turn is greater. When your inventory turn is greater, your cash flow is superior. You have less risk of inventory becoming obsolete and being devalued. You have a much better use of your available cash. Having your product made close at hand is infinitely superior than paying duties and international oceanic freight and having long supply lines and having your product produced in a place where you're not sure if your intellectual property rights are going to be maintained. And so that you don't have to go and travel like I did for years overseas away from your family. I mean, there's every incentive for business and corporations to make their product close at hand. And when they don't do so, it's only because they can't do so. And if they can't do so, then there is every reason that it's good for America to outsource those jobs, because if they didn't outsource the jobs, even the corporate jobs on sales and marketing and the like would go away because the product wouldn't be saleable. I mean, I feel like we need to give all of America an economic test on businesses and corporations, starting with the politicians. If you can't pass the test, if you don't understand these things, then you ought not be able to run for office. You ought not be able to vote. And I dare say that if I were just to speak of the ways that businesses operate and what they contribute and what they have to endure in this country, my guess is that 99% of what I would share would be unknown to the person listening, because we have become economically illiterate as a nation. But that's nonetheless the truth, and it is vastly different, the opposite, in fact, of what the Hillary Rotten has to say. Now, if you want don't want big corporations getting tax breaks when they choose to certain source different labor. Now, this person says give everyone the same tax rate. Well, I would be an advocate of a flat tax. Everybody pays the same thing. Just take the overall corporate and personal tax down to 20%, period. Everybody pays 20%. That's just it. Now, you still have to have what the uninitiated would call a tax break, for example, depreciation. And if you don't depreciate the asset, then you can't afford to buy it. You know, there's a cost of owning something. Now, personally, I would just let people expense it. I'd go right to a cost-based accounting system and get out of the accrual accounting system that so adversely affects the business and so favorably affects government tax regulators. But if you don't allocate expenses intelligently as an offset to income, then what you end up doing is taxing revenue, and there isn't a single business or corporation that could survive. There would be no jobs and no government revenue. These are the realities. The opposite of what Rotten had to say. This particular article, the one that Scott sent me about the Rotten one, concludes with, every time this woman speaks, she reveals only one thing. She is astonishingly stupid and completely unqualified for any public office whatsoever, let alone the presidency. The fact that she's even gotten this far as a candidate, taken seriously, reveals that this nation is drowning in absurdity and is completely beyond hope. Boy, there's a guy that's got it right. About 2 weeks ago, every major news periodical posted stories that said that Boko Haram had negotiated a truce with the Nigerian government, and they were returning the 250 kidnapped little girls that they had abused and raped. Wow. And then the Nigerian government says, we did not give them any concessions of autonomy over geographic areas. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the Muslims have decided that they're going to act like evangelical Christians. They're not going to be Muslims anymore. Okay, sure. Now, I didn't report on those stories. I didn't want to tell you, okay, that every news periodical is presenting this as if it's reality. Because it was ludicrous. Well, since that time, Boko Haram has not returned the kidnapped girls, and they have overrun three additional communities, and collectively they've kidnapped over 100 more. Because they're Muslims. They're doing what their religion orders them to do. This story, Kano, Nigeria. Boko Haram gunmen kidnapped at least 30 boys and girls from another village in northeast Nigeria. This is just one of several raids. These abductions appear to be the latest in a string of recent kidnappings by Boko Haram that dims hope for the anticipated release of the 225 squirrel girls held by the group since April, following a controversial ceasefire declared by the Nigerian authorities. Heavily armed Boko Haram gunmen invaded the town of Mathna in Boko State Friday and Saturday and seized, kidnapped the young boys and girls. They will turn the girls into sex slaves. The boys will be turned into warriors, jihadists. On Thursday, Boko Haram killed 17 people in a nearby village. Then they looted that village and set it ablaze. Many people have fled their homes and their families for fear of being killed, losing their children to the insurgents, having everything they have earned robbed. Amina lamented, this is an individual, that the military had done nothing to stop the raids, despite repeated complaints by the local leaders. Now, last week, this article is correctly revealing that Boko Haram kidnapped 60 women and girls in two Christian villages in a neighboring state. The carnage just goes on and on. So they've gone from 225 to 325 kidnapped, and now in the many, many thousands murdered. But I suppose our president would tell us that Boko Haram's not Islamic. I reported in Illinois, where we would expect this to happen, that there would be voting machines that would register a Republican vote to the Democratic candidate. Well, this is the article that I hinted at yesterday that is accomplishing the same thing, but this time in Maryland. This quote, when I first selected my candidate on the electronic machine, it would not put the X in the box I chose, a Republican, but constantly put the X on the Democratic candidate above it, Donna Hamilton said. This happened multiple times with multiple selections. Every time my choice flipped from Republican to Democrat. Sometimes it required four or five tries to get the X to stay on my real selection, another resident said. Queen Anne County Sheriff Gary Hoffman said that he encountered the same problem. This is happening all over Maryland. It occurred on two candidates on my machine. I'm glad I checked. Many voters have reported this occurring as well. You see, there is a propensity for liberals, and most Democrats are liberals, to be more immoral. They are less immune from political correctness. They are more accepting of social secular humanism, and therefore they have no moral compass. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. For them, Machiavelli was correct in saying that the ends justify the means. Without a sense of morality, they will continue to promote this kind of misbehavior.